Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to another off-season edition of the Student of the Game. I'm Kyle, the Student of the Game. To my right, with me as always to bring you lots of off-season action, actually, happening in the past 2 days, in particular, Chris and Weasel. And of course, we're going to start off with the giant horse in the room. And the reason why I say horse isn't because we're talking about Sarah Jessica Parker or anybody with an ugly face, but rather one Peyton Manning. Why are horses relevant? In case you're under an NFL rock and haven't heard anything in football news of late, he is officially a Bronco, that's right, passing up a new retooled, awesome pass-receiving core, an excellent running game, and I'm not talking about the Colts. He forgoes a gold helmet to waste his time wearing a dark blue one with another horse. The best guess I had as to why he did it was he has a thing for horses. Going from the Colts, they have a horseshoe, and then the Broncos, they got a horse and the helmet and all that.
But,
you know, well, we'll get into that in a minute. You can talk your Homer trash all you want, Mr. I had a team who took Tim Hutchinson away from me to try to get Peyton that failed, but that's a different topic we'll get to in a minute. So passing up the 49ers, obviously, is as we've hinted at here a second ago. All I can see is either has a thing for horses, or I also noticed as of this past Thursday, which would have been, March 16th, the leading team in free cap space happened to be the Broncos with about $40 million. And it ain't close for second. I think it's like $28 million. You know, the Niners, for the record, had 23. You know. They were too busy tying up their money, getting, you know, awesome receivers like Randy Moss, Mario Manningham, retaining Crabtree, Vernon Davis, franchising Deshaun Golston, locking up Carlos Rogers. I'm getting off track. But the point is, Peyton Manning, a Bronco gentleman, we obviously know this was a good move for the Broncos. Anyone who says that it wasn't is just a raving lunatic. Unless one of you are raving lunatics now?
No.
Didn't think so. So, was this the best move for Peyton Manning? And if so, why? Weasel.
No. I mean...
Yo, bleep that!
Yeah, I mean...
That was bleep retarded right there.
The Broncos, I mean... You look at the Broncos team and you have... Oh, their defense won them a lot of games. The kicker won them a lot of games. The games they won were against crappy teams. And... It's like Tebow did have fourth quarter
comebacks. That whole Steelers thing wasn't a crappy
and
team.
They get crushed by, they get embarrassed actually by the Patriots.
Twice.
I think Minnesota put up 32 points or so on the board on them. And it's like, I don't think they made any additions so far. I think they're looking at William Gay and maybe a couple other defensive players. But it's like, I don't think their offensive line is. I think they have a couple good pieces to it, but...
Well, we know they're great run blockers. I saw times when they broke down in pass protection, such as both Patriot games, the Bills game, which was the first dismantling, if you ask me, after they lost to the Lions big. You know...
Well, you got some... I know you got some bitterness, but I think the bitterness is... Is rightfully so, because, I mean...
Right, it's less about the fact... I mean, yeah, sure, the Niners would have been a lockup Super Bowl favorite if they got Manning. I don't understand why you passed that up. Let me go through the names again. Randy Moss, Mario Manningham, Michael Crabtree, Vernon Davis. Right now, on paper today, the best core in the league, short of perhaps the Saints.
You got a good...
And there's Frank Gore, by the way, too. Offensive line that can neutralize the Giants' D-line, which...
Got a real defense. I mean, yeah. Their defense is pretty solid. And it's just mile high. I think he just got enamored with John Elway saying, hey, I was old, and I won two of them. Hey, you only won one. So let's win some more.
Yeah, you know, and you mentioned that. That's probably the best point I could come up with is that. And by the way... For all these people who try to tell me, oh, it's because Jim Harbaugh is too much of a micromanager. Now, hold on just a minute, guys. I think we unanimously picked him Coach of the Year last year. He was able to get production out of Alex Smith after Alex Smith was mediocre as hell for 6 years. I've been saying seven. That's wrong. It's actually six. And one good year. Now, granted, it's only 1 year's worth body work, so it's not a long list. But he was able to craft Alex Smith. We have a guy who's a good enough quarterback coach to give a guy who is mediocre up to this point, serviceable to take to make a team Super Bowl worthy. I'll say that. But we think he's not going to be smart enough to get the hell out of the way when Peyton Manning comes to town. That's just retarded.
What's kind of weird also is that Manning said that the reason why he chose the Broncos was because he didn't want to win in a couple years. He wanted to win now. And that was his reasoning.
Which is stupid. Agreed.
Which doesn't really... I think it's maybe part of his reasoning is the AFC is kind of... in respect to like the Ravens and the Patriots, they're aging teams. But
well, there's fewer teams at the top of the AFC. So let's do this. Houston, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, and I guess I'll give you New England. Who's another top flight team in the AFC?
Houston is all right, and
I said Houston. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Houston's all right, and
there's no one else.
Yeah, yeah. You
really can't do Houston right now. They've lost a couple key defensive players.
Right, we'll get to that in a minute too. But and then I might even be able to give you Cincinnati, maybe.
But it's as if he picked based on not the team but around him, the competition he's facing, even though the Broncos have the number two toughest schedule in the NFL next season, playing against teams like
the Patriots, the Steelers. I think the Ravens are on there too. Yeah, I've seen some of that. I looked at their schedule so far. I got 9-7.
Yeah, so
which ain't making the playoffs, by the way. In that division, yeah, it might be, right. But
he wanted to go to an AFC team. So
I still don't get that
because the chance to play his brother in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's that. You know what? That's why not the Niners. That could be the only chance. But you know what? What other AFC team would there he go to? The only other one, you know, he wasn't going to go to Houston.
Yeah, Baltimore. If he wasn't going to go to Houston, he wasn't going to go to Tennessee.
Right. Baltimore. I would have thought Baltimore, but they have.
I don't know. They have a. Yeah, they have enough cap issues as well too.
But you know, Dolphins. They don't want to deal with the owner and management.
Yeah, Jeff Ireland's a moron. Yeah. I got you. Not to mention, does he want to play Brady twice a year? That might put a lot of butts in the seats.
And he's in the AFC West.
And actually, depending on how things go, yeah, AFC West is the worst division in football right now. That's probably the best point, in addition to Elway saying, look, you know, let's do it for the old guys, Peyton. I was there once. I was a 37-year-old starting Super Bowl quarterback. Did he was the second one when he was 38? I don't even remember now. But the point is, the youngest he could have been when he won his first Super Bowl was 30 frickin' 6.
I was old when I won my quarterback, so please, can you help me get rid of Tebow?
Which brings us, that was an excellent segue opportunity, thank you, Weasel, which will bring us to what happens to Tim Tebow. Now, there's been a lot of speculation on this already, and there's actually been some trade attempts out there as the Jets were rumored for a while. I have to say rumored, but allegedly, the Jets were supposed to acquire Tim Tebow and a 7th-round pick in exchange for a 4th-round pick and a 6th-rounder. Now, me personally, I said it a couple times when I called into WTMY between our recordings here that I would have given no more than a 5th-rounder for Tebow at this time. Just because I'm sure that I could have gotten it. But let me put it to you this way. Potential Tebow candidates are
Jets and Jags, pretty much, yeah.
And the Rams might be in the mix now, too.
Which, well, we'll talk about that in a minute. So, really, it's down to two teams. I don't understand why the Jets want him. I'll be perfectly honest with that.
I know why.
Okay, go, Weasel.
I think it would be pretty cool. I think it's... Now, if Sanchez, if he, you know, mans up, if he has a decent season, you have a guy, I think that their Wildcat last season was
awful.
Kind of...
They got rid of Brad Smith 2 years ago.
Brad Smith, and yeah, it was pretty non-existent. And their rushing attack was what? I think it was like 25th in the league last year.
Well, they had a lot of injuries, that's true. But, I mean, they were relying on Joe McKnight, Danny Tomlinson, who was old, and Sean Green, who was hurt.
Right. You kick them out. You just put them out there. And when you stick Tebow out there, the thing is he essentially runs the Denver. He ran the Denver offense like a Wildcat. I think at times.
No, yeah, he was a Wildcat quarterback. No,
it was weird.
We talked about that.
And the thing is he can get in the game 10 to 15 snaps. He'll maybe run five times, maybe throw a couple. And the only thing is the circus that he's bringing along. But the thing is he'll add that new dimension to the Jets offense, and I think it'll help him out. I think when you have to set up a red zone defense, when you have to set up a goal line defense, and Tim Tebow comes out there, it's not that easy.
Okay. Well, those are all interesting points. You got them provided you say he could be his own running threat if he beats Sanchez. And
But no, Sanchez
he would be a package.
He'd be a package player.
He'd be a package player. He would be the wildcat
quarterback.
You know, the ground and pound, you know, come in third series.
Or goal line.
Yeah, goal line. Everything. That's what they're going to be doing. But then Sanchez have a bad game, you know, how fans are.
Well, forget about how fans are. We already know that Sanchez is mentally south. Okay, right. Look, I understand the part where he's gotten the two AFC championship games. No one has preached that to defend this guy as much as Rex Ryan. But in third place, because Rex Ryan counts as two because he's so big, as me. You know, him winning two AFC championship games can't be denied. But here's what we know. Once something's in his head, the kid is south. And the instant that they even whisper Tebow coming onto the field, which will happen because he will struggle, because that's what he does early in the season, is he's not right in at the beginning of the season, needs a little time to knock the rust off in the offseason, right? He starts screwing up. Incompletion number one, we want Tebow.
We'll see if it may be.
What are you talking about? It's when they're in warm-ups, the problem is we want
Tebow. Actually, Jets fans are like that. They're every year, so I mean.
Well, right,
they want the backup quarterback any year. So.
I mean, the only thing the New York Jets fans haven't booed was Donovan McNabb because the Eagles fans took care of that. So, but here's my whole thing. In addition to his questionable throwing and all that, you want to put him in a division with the Patriots. So he has to face them twice in the regular season. Already, that's a red flag for me. All right. Second, you mentioned the complete lack of supporting cast yourself, Weasel, as far as the running backs. I'll grant Santonio Holmes is a decent receiver. But other than him, Plax is on his way out. Who they got?
Did they pick up Cotri, or is he still with the Steelers?
I don't know that Cotri has departed from the Steelers as yet, but that could happen.
Yeah, I think they picked him back up. So, but still, yeah. Okay. I thought he was a good pickup because of if the trade does go through because of.
Well, that's all cute, but that is but the one mania. Aspect.
I know, but the Tebow mania will come with it, which.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. That's the one positive I think he does bring to the Jets locker room is a sense of sonority and solidarity there. He is capable of bringing a team together. This is why both the Bronco offense and defense, frankly, started to perform better is because of Tim Tebow as a leader, less about him as a quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they're looking for that kind of a presence in New York. I don't know.
Yeah, Cotri is still a free agent.
Oh, I think the offensive coordinator is Sperano.
Formerly of the Dolphins, that's correct.
And what formation did he like to run with the Dolphins?
The Angry Kitty. Oh, no, wait, the Wildcat. Right.
Then.
You like that Angry Kitty? That was from the hip. So. But no, yeah, it would bring them the Wildcat. That's definitely a plus, but unless they're going to run it as much as the Dolphins, which I don't see happening, because they don't have the running back core to support it, right? What made the Wildcats successful in Miami? Oh, besides Ronnie Brown, obviously.
Ricky Williams was...
Right, yeah. A second running back was absolutely necessary, so there was multiple options. The idea of what the Wildcat is mystery. They don't have that. You got Tim Tebow snapping the ball, it's going to him, because you ain't worried about Joe McKnight, if they even have him on the damn roster anymore.
Yeah. You could still. I mean, if they have Tomlinson and
Tomlinson, I believe, is retired.
No, they list him as a free agent. He said he was going to retire after the end of the year, so they're not picking him up.
He's not a Jet anymore, is the point.
He's not a Jet, right?
Sean Green.
Yeah.
Can he come back?
Down. Yeah.
Well, he was up. He's been down all of last year with injuries and such. Yeah. Will he be back the same? Is he going to pull a Chris Johnson light on us?
So,
you know, I mean, I like your Wildcat theory, except for the part there's not enough pieces for it. And we've seen what happens when Mark Sanchez splits out. Don't you remember that one where he splits out and the DB goes, to pretend to scare him? And Sanchez goes, and fades back and flinches. Oh, God, you know.
Yeah.
And then gets called off sides for flinching.
And he got caught for holding.
Oh, yeah, and then he threw a crap block. Yeah. Crap, I forgot about that. So, yeah, that's your supporting cast for Tebow. Come on, dog. Okay. You know, I'm just saying. Anyways, so a little more on... Well, you talked enough about how the Jets failed in getting Tebow. Let's talk some about how the Jags failed by not getting it. I'm a little surprised that new owner Shaz Khan, or for those of you who like 80s singers, Shaza Khan, skipped on or didn't get to the punch quick enough on Tebow yet. Now, granted, again, the deal still isn't happening yet. You know, there's still a lot of talk. I think even with the $5 extra fee or whatever, you pick up Shaz Khan. Sorry?
$5 mil.
Yeah, right. I just want two packs of Skittles. $5 million, thank you. I think what they could have done is pick him up, okay? Because, true or false, pop quiz, gentlemen, true or false, the Jags will rebuild in 1 year.
Oh.
There's way too much hesitation.
Yeah.
This is a multi-year plan, okay? Yeah. So, while you're rebuilding, why not bring Tebow Mania to support an otherwise struggling franchise?
Maybe because you have a guy named Blaine Gabbert.
Why the hell does that matter? Because he's been awful. You know the only starting quarterback to have worse numbers than Tim Tebow completion-wise? A Blaine Gabbert.
So let me get this right. So you want to coddle Mark Sanchez. He has this...
I didn't say want to.
Well, you're like, oh, he... If someone else comes in, he may get flustered.
Did they not just sign an extension with Sanchez?
Yeah.
Okay.
Blaine Gabbert was a rookie last year. Terrible.
And
it's like, and you want to pretty much throw the towel on him.
Okay, so you would want to protect Brady Quinn in Denver with this conversation, okay?
No, they still don't have good receivers.
They still don't have good receivers. They still don't have good receivers. Let me get this straight. They still don't have good receivers in Jacksonville. What do they have? Run blocking and mojo.
They just picked up a receiver. I'm trying to think of who it is. Oh, Laurent Robinson.
Oh, well. Yeah, you're right, Weasel.
It's all
right. Yeah. I quit. Yeah. They got Mercedes Lewis, who's a good tight end, something a check down guy would need, like a Tim Tebow. You know, I think at the very least, Gabbert should compete. Because who was his competition last year? Luke McCown? And didn't Luke McCown lose that competition anyway?
With Tebow Mania, I mean, the thing about it is you would be, because I think Blaine Gabbert stinks. I mean, yeah, I think he's going
to
go down.
Here's what I know. With Blaine Gabbert, they've had to cover 9,000 seats per game. With Tebow Mania, sellout for the season.
Hometown kid.
Within 2 hours of the news.
Yeah. Hometown kid. But also the Jags and the Dolphins traded quarterbacks, basically, in free agency because Jags picked up Chad Henne. And the Dolphins picked up David Garrard.
Although Garrard was a free agent at the time,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, he was, but still.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people are irked that... That Garrard was a pickup of Miami. I mean, I don't think they've given up on Matt Moore yet, nor necessarily should they. I think some Dolphin fans are overreacting just a touch. Now, granted, they should have acquired Peyton Manning. They should have at least given a decent shot at getting Matt Flynn. But I hear what you're saying about the fact they got Blaine Gabbert, Weasel. But here's what I know. Like I said, with Blaine Gabbert, they're covering up 9,000 seats a game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's... something that Joey Porter said, a former linebacker in the NFL. He had called Tim Tebow the Justin Bieber of the NFL.
which is ridiculous because we all know the Justin Bieber of the NFL is Tom Brady.
Well, that because he would get a lot of fans, and it is good for ticket sales.
Well, Bon Jovi would get a lot of ticket sales and fans, but...
So you want to call him the Bon Jovi of the NFL?
I think that's much better than Justin Bieber, don't you?
What's his name? The terrible comedian that has his own...
Carrot Top.
Late Night Show.
Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon.
He did the Dave Bowie thing with Tim
David
Tebow.
Bowie?
Yeah, David Bowie. Okay. With Tim Tebow.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, he did a spin on it with...
There was a David Bowie song or something?
Yeah,
or?
He did a couple songs. He did a recent one. It's pretty funny.
This is why Jimmy Fallon shouldn't have his own show. Thank you for providing that car accident. Anyways, if we had a soundboard, it's all up on there. That's part of the next upgrade. Anyways, so with that, with this disaster, I think we talked about the Niners enough with their... additions with Moss and Manningham and how awesome that's going to be. They were forced to pick Alex Smith back up, much to my chagrin, but once they missed out on Flynn and Manning, what other option was there? Somebody asked me, I was calling into actually WTMY, and the question posed to me was, in your professional opinion, what do you think the Niners should do at quarterback now that they missed on Manning and Flynn? My response? Prayer. I'm just saying.
Well, you got Kaepernick.
Which, and well, see, I certainly said prayer because that implies I think they should get Tebow. That's not what I meant. But, yeah, Kaepernick. Thanks,
There's
Chris.
There's still hope for that. There's
hey,
still
Josh Johnson's available.
You know. Anyways.
Byron left bench. I mean, left which.
Left bench. You know, I used to hating on Byron Leftwich, there's versions of that in print. They're so old. But I'll tell you, as a backup to Big Ben, he was good. I'm going to give him that much credit. Anyway, so going back, though, the Titans were in the hunt for a while for Peyton Manning, and obviously they didn't get him. So does that mean they're reduced to Matt Hasselbeck at quarterback?
Yep.
They still drafted Jake Locklear last year, too.
Jacob Locklear still in
play. I think he played decent.
Yeah, he did was, okay. He, yeah, but Hasselbeck was better.
Yeah, well, still.
At his age.
Well, I mean, and yeah, Locklear is obviously the future, but, you know, I think Hasselbeck has been renowned as a decent, what's it called, mentor.
Serviceable quarterback.
Well, I meant mentor for other quarterbacks. Serviceable is a good word as far as playing ability. Yeah, Weasel, that's a good call there. But as far as being a mentor, a quarterback teacher, if you will, he's gotten props for that before in the past. Anybody? I got Chris on the laptop here just periodically checking the site to see if there's any movement on Tebow. So
yeah, no, there's no movement yet. But the Titans did pick up Steve Hutchinson, though, like you said earlier.
Right. So here's our pop quiz for this session, gentlemen. Pop quiz is Hutchinson to Titans. Weasel's not going to answer this one first. Does this mean that the Vikings are now cellar dwellers in the NFC North? Keep in mind the Bears having recently acquired Brandon Marshall. Pending suspension, of course. Do we know what that's for right off the bat?
Allegedly.
Oh, yeah, allegedly.
Hitting a woman outside a New York nightclub.
Woo, I got traded! Yeah! Aw!
That was before the trade. Both teams knew about it.
Oh. Well, okay.
Trade,
so even pending suspension.
Right.
Vikings now officially cellar dwellers once again in the NFC North. Chris.
With the Bears, with Jay Cutler and Brandon Marshall getting back together, you know, Johnny Knox coming back, hopefully that didn't kill him too much.
I was about to say, I wouldn't call on Johnny Knox yet, but maybe Matt Forte.
Matt Forte, and their linebackers are getting a little old, and Lance Briggs and Brian Urlacher.
Still got Julius Peppers, though.
Yeah, and they probably could end, I think they worked on their secondary a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just shored up their number three pick that they're picking. The O lineman from Matt Khalil, from USC, that basically shirted up now.
You mean the Vikings?
Vikings, yeah.
Okay.
I meant so.
Oh, well, Hutchinson's a guard, right?
Hutchinson's a guard. Khalil's a tackle.
They need a tackle more.
Their left tackle, forgot his name.
He was a pickup from the Colts. I know that. I don't remember
the pickup from the Colts. I think he's better suited at guard, so they're going to move him at guard, and they would put Matt Khalil at the left tackle position.
Okay, but...
I mean, you still got Vernon Carey available that they might be able to pick up. He was with the Dolphins.
Okay.
He was decent.
So...
So yeah. Cellar can only go up.
Yeah. Like they were in the cellar, so it's not like they can go further down.
Yeah.
So, okay, but do you see a cellar repeat? Do they continue to dwell in the cellar?
I say, yeah, one more year.
Weasel.
One more year. Yeah, why not? One more year.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say so too, and mostly because we don't know the state of Adrian Peterson and his recovery. That wasn't a pleasant injury he got either. I'm glad to see that Toby Gerhart is going to be a serviceable, committed guy to take some of the carries. That's a big deal. The Jags need that just as much, if not more, than anybody else with Mojo, for example. But, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you guys. Definitely cellar-dwelling material in the Jags for 2012. Let's see. A couple other things that occurred since our previous episode. One of them being DeSean Jackson. 5 years locked up with the Eagles. Wise move?
How much guaranteed?
I didn't catch the guarantee.
Must be a good amount.
Well, let me tell you what the risk is, though, is his head right. We talked about it before, where DeSean Jackson was franchised at first. So they had him getting excellent money in a one-year contract, and a one-year contract served the Eagles to see to it that if he was going to be a nutcase again for a second year. Now he's got his 5 years, and he can be nutty all he wants. Will he do so is the question.
Yeah, I think he'll be all right.
Okay. Just curious. Also, in other news for the Eagles, D'Amico Ryans, inside linebacker, picked up from the Texans. Chris cited it earlier that the Texans have basically lost their top two defensive players, one of them being Mario Williams to the Bills, which people are like, don't you think the Bills overpaid for Mario Williams? No, I don't. They're the Bills. They got to overpay for players that are even close to good. A. B. And then they lose D'Amico Ryans.
They did pay Mario Williams $50 million guaranteed, which is a lot, but
that's
he's kind of established. But
well, in a division where you have to play Tom Brady, who's good unless he gets pressure in his face, a defensive end is worth $50 million.
But the Titans were so in pursuit of Peyton Manning that they couldn't pursue him.
They missed Mario Williams.
They missed Mario Williams.
And then also the Texans also lost fullback Lawrence Vickers.
Which, I mean, he's getting to be old, too. He's quite a staple of the league, though, yeah.
Yeah, but still, he was one of the ones that was leading the way for Arian Foster
and
Ben Tate. They also lost a couple offensive linemen, looks like on here. Offensive tackle and an offensive guard. I don't know if they're backups or not, but...
So all that being said, they're losing pieces here. I mean... I'm not going to say they're going to go back in the crapper or nothing. They still have a good shot to win that division, but I don't know that they're a Super Bowl threat as they were late in the regular season last year before Schaub went down.
You see all the pickups that New England has done as well.
Brandon Lloyd, among others.
Will Allen, he's getting up there in age though. Corner, he's been hurt the last few years.
Well, I mean, anything at corner is an improvement.
They picked up Robert Gallery.
I don't know. Okay, well, that's nothing to get excited about. He's been awful his entire
Anthony
career.
Anthony Gonzalez has been injured the last couple of years for the Colts.
Yeah, it's another receiver.
But yeah, they have Brandon Lloyd, Dante Stallworth.
Yeah.
They re-signed Matthew Slater. Daniel Fells, the tight end from the Broncos.
Anybody, though, beefing up their defense?
Let's see here.
Which, why do they need another tight end? Seriously. I'm just throwing that out there, guys.
Michael Bennett was second string with the Bucks. Jonathan Fanine, I don't know who that was, for the Bengals. And Trevor Scott with the Raiders. Safety, Steve Gregory.
So the answer I'm hearing is
Tracy White.
No,
not really.
So
no. And they also lost Anderson to the Bills as well, the defense end.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, The Bills basically are trying to fix up their defense a little bit, and they need to make sure they can keep Fred Jackson healthy.
I think they're switching back to a 4-3 now instead of a 3-4.
That's what these moves would imply. Right. Yeah, yeah. And you got to have linebackers to spare, and only two teams. I've only really seen two teams I feel like do it really well, and I mean I'm even excluding the Niners from this list, and that would be
Steelers and Ravens.
Darn right. Yep. You know, now I'll grant the Niners have had flashes of brilliance with a 3-4, but it, you know, I like them better in 4-3 when Texans, they can. But well that's just me.
Texans actually did pretty well in 3-4.
Yeah, with Cushing and D'Amico Ryans, and yeah. I think that's the reason why they parted with D'Amico Ryans is because they still have Brian Cushing, and you know that's pretty solid. And J.J. Watt was an excellent rookie. You know, not just because he had that miracle interception in the playoff game that got him past the Bengals, but so anyways. With all that in mind, let's take it to the big news that just broke today as we're recording this and we're passing the 30-minute mark here. The Saints' bounty punishments have come down for the brass. Going from top to bottom, GM, well, let's go bottom up. Greg Williams, former DC defensive coordinator for the Saints, who's really been linked as the mastermind to this whole thing, is banned, or excuse me, suspended indefinitely, and at the end of the year they'll review him as to his future with the NFL. Next one up would probably be assistant coach Jason Witt, 6-game suspension. Next one up, Sean Payton, head coach, 4-year suspension without pay. Next guy up would be the GM. I always forget this guy's name. Someone
Mickey Loomis.
Mickey Loomis, thank you. 8 games. Then the Saints themselves fined $500,000 and depleted 2 draft picks, second round pick in this draft and the following draft. Now you've heard everyone here now has heard the fines and punishments as I've listed them. Thoughts, feelings, and opinions. Let's start with Chris this time.
I hate that suspended indefinitely. You know, they could always change that. It's not like set.
Well, you know, and by definition, by Goodell's definition of the punishment, this particular thing is supposed to be ambiguous. They're supposed to determine the actual final punishment at the end of this year.
Right. There you have all the details on this. There's, 22 to 27 players that are involved with the bounty gate.
Right.
There might be coming out.
Well, and that's just in the Saints locker room. You know, in the case of Williams, we're talking about 3 different teams of involvement.
Right. There's some food for thought here. Now, the read most of the NFL investigative report.
Okay.
And Williams said he designed and implemented the program with the assistance of some of the defensive players, and he did so after Sean Payton said his assignment was to make the defense nasty.
Oh.
Now, the thing is that around the league, and you know, the Saints defense is nasty.
Yeah.
And I think that when you say nasty, that's kind of like an opinion-based kind of word, you know? They're a nasty defense. Well,
okay, with respect, I've never heard anyone say, they're a nasty defense. There is a twinge on that they're pushing the envelope.
Nasty. Yeah. Now, you put some numbers with it. In each of the 2009 through 2011 seasons, the Saints were in the top 5 in roughing the passer penalties.
Interesting.
In 2009 and 2011, they were top 5 in unnecessary roughness. 6 in 2010. $15,000 fines for hits against the Cardinals in the 2010 division matchup. That was when Kurt Warner was getting hit and
very
stuff.
Very good, very good.
$30,000 for 4 separate illegal hits the following week in the NFC Championship game against the Vikings.
Oh, $30,000 in that game? I didn't know.
$30,000
wow.
For that in that game.
Which obviously includes the Bobby McCray.
The thing about it was that some of those hits weren't even flagged. So
yeah.
And it's like,
the McCray hit itself wasn't flagged.
And I think the main thing that kind of got to me about this whole thing is that,
other than the fact that it was the Vikings who suffered from
it? Yeah, well, I mean, the way I look at it is that 12 men on the field, far of interception, and if they block them a little better, then you know they would have won. If less mistakes, less fumbles.
Yeah,
less
turnovers, we talked about this. We talked about this before the taping. Who's the most dangerous pass rusher in any game that you've ever watched?
One that you don't block.
The guy that's not blocked. Yeah. Damn right.
But the thing about it is that the whole thing that bothers me about this is that Champagne, like, he and the assistants and everyone, they covered the whole thing up for so long.
Right.
It was in 2010, they had the NFL was to, they were investigating, because I think people caught wind of, like, the Vikings thing. They were like, okay, what's going on? And Sean Payton said he, like, gave wind to those two guys, the general manager.
Oh, it was from even higher up than him. Yeah. Tommy Benson, the owner, said to them, yo, they're on to us. Knock it off.
Yeah, but I just don't, I don't think the owner was, I think the owner was kind of not, like, in, I don't think he was.
You don't think it was the owner? You think it was, who
I
was
think
it then?
The guys, I think the general manager knew of it, but didn't put his foot down.
Well, the way I remember it is they were told to stop doing it by either the NFL or Tom Benson. Somebody told them to stop.
Oh, yeah.
And they proceeded.
But the but in 2010, they had a talk, and Sean Payton was, before they were being investigated, told the general manager and the assistant, let's get on all on the same page on this type of thing. And so that they could essentially continue the bounty program.
So what they, you're telling me is there's a whole lot of conspiracy up there, in this piece.
The thing about it, it's not just, if this was, if they were laying down these fines for 2010, which after the Viking game, if this happened, Super Bowl happened, bam, they win, and then this happened, it would be different punishments. But the thing is they've been covering it up for 2 years, and what's even worse is that they have, they have records of the payouts for the players that got injured.
Are you serious?
Yeah. There are, because you, I think they call, one of them is getting the John Deere or something, is when you cart off a player off the field.
Yeah, yeah.
And
in reference to the actual cart made by John Deere, blah, 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 right, right.
They actually, I think, documented stuff where they have envelopes of money and stuff they gave to players and stuff.
Oh, my God.
And I think it's going to come out where they, certain players got injured, and they have documented that, hey, we paid this guy this much money for doing it.
Okay, look, I'm not an expert criminal, okay? I mean, well, if I am, you don't know, which means I'm actually an expert criminal. But I'm not an expert. Yeah, I'm not an expert criminal. But I'm pretty damn sure if you're doing something shady, you're not supposed to be writing it down.
Yeah, and
just gotta throw that out there.
The GM, I think he knew about it. The GM definitely knew about it. But I think he kept like a wink, wink, stop it.
He knew about it in February 2010. What it says here.
And what
when he was told by the league to end the practice.
Okay, so there was the league that said it.
Right.
Wink, wink, stop.
Yeah. And then the, the assistant coach, Vitt, was originally said that he didn't know anything about it when he was, when he did know about it. So, what was it? And then...
This isn't like, so this isn't like the Sandusky case and Joe Paterno where he should have done more. Sean Payton was in on it.
Payton was in on it, yeah.
They said he was had an email before the first game in 2011 against the Rodgers that said, the P.S., Greg Williams put me down for $5,000 on Rodgers.
Down and then Rogers,
Payton,
then
Payton said that he didn't know anything about it, but then the NFL investigator said, what's this email here?
Not to mention the player, the players' union themselves are investigating some of these 22 to 27 players, and there's possibility for fines and suspensions from them here. Based on all these records, that's the question we ask: is they didn't track that? Well, yeah, apparently they did.
Right. Well, that's because Williams oversaw record keeping, determined payout amounts and recipients, and handed out envelopes with money to the players.
Well, right, but these there's emails and stuff about money exchanges. Like an email to the general manager, for example, said, "Hey, I need this many grand to pay this player, and this player." You know. So I mean, it's pretty ridiculous.
But with the Sean Payton suspended with for the year, it begins April 1st, so he's not even involved with the draft.
Which, for the record, kind of a big deal, yeah. So, I mean, let me ask this question though. We aimed pretty low on all the suspensions, except for with the assistant coach we didn't even really account for. But we matched 8 games. We said half the season for the GM. We said half the season for Sean Payton. Or at least I did. I don't remember what you said.
Yeah, I said half the season.
Okay. Goodell doubled us there. Right. So far, he's matching us on banning Greg Williams. And he's hitting a little bit weaker with the picks. Yeah, Weasley nailed half a mil.
Yeah, because that's the maximum they could find a team.
Right. We did come in a little higher than Goodell on the picks, because we said 2 first-rounders, he said 2 seconds. I could go either way on that, you know. But based on that, now that you've heard my opinion of it, how do you guys feel about the punishment levied, yay or nay?
I mean, you can do higher draft picks, but like so, the first round.
Two first rounders.
But, I mean, they're not going to. I think Williams is going to be out of the NFL. And when they say definitely, I think they said they were going to re.
They're going to look at it again at the end of this year.
But I think he's going to be out. I think he did a good job. It's just that in 2010, I mean.
If you don't have enough evidence, you don't have enough evidence. Because, like, look, if they're going to if they're going into emails and getting stuff like that, there's a lot of law and due process in getting into communications like that. Yeah. There's a lot of hoops to jump through. That means warrants. That means, you know, bureaucracy, all of that.
But at first, I didn't know, like, the extent that Sean Payton was involved in this.
No, I don't think anyone
But it's
did.
Like, but the thing is that he was involved in the cover-up with the investigation.
Oh, yeah.
So he... Like, giving a heads up to the guys, like, saying, let's get all on the same page type thing. It's just, like, I mean, the guy is, like...
Straight
and that defense was, I mean, they were a dirty defense.
They were nasty.
They were nasty. And, I mean, they won their games, and, I mean, they get a punishment, but I think, overall, I think the games and stuff, I think they did all right.
So... anybody got anything else to add on the bounty piece?
I just want to know what like the specifics about like what with like what players were like injured and stuff like that against the Saints.
It'll come out.
That's gonna be a future story. Yeah.
Yeah, the NFLPA is like put a hold on naming the players right now until
they finish their investigation
with everything.
Because I'm just wondering, not only the players that are gonna get. Fined or suspended, because you have the fact that they're making money under the table. That they are. That we do have the tax season. We have April 15th coming up.
Yeah.
They didn't. That was a lot of money. That was not.
See, Weasel's wanting to stick the IRS on them again. Look at
IRS.
But they said some of them, which included Aaron Rodgers, Cam Newton, Brett Favre, and Kurt Warner. Knockouts were paying $1,500, and cardoffs are paying $1,000.
So,
and payments were doubled or tripled for the playoffs.
Yeah. Which is what we reported last time, so I mean.
Yeah. So, like, but I mean, with players, they got to hit them hard with the wallet. They got to hit them, I think, hard with the wallet.
See, I'm in a little different place with that.
The paper trail.
Yeah, there's that. A, okay. B. They need two things. They need paper trail and film. Which, like, for example, if there's something that says, pay Bobby McCray for knocking Favre the heck out, and they have the video to match it.
Yeah.
Then they can do what you're talking about. Here's the book. Take that.
But they also got to track the money.
Yeah,
it's cash. It's kind of hard to track.
Well,
they supposedly.
Unless it's all in the DNA.
If there's an email that says, I'm about to pay so-and-so this many many dollars, then the IRS can technically go after them and say, excuse me, this many dollars you didn't claim. You know.
It's going to be funny.
I don't think that's going to happen, but that would be awful.
They took records. They took records of it all.
I mean, well, we don't know what those records actually entail, but that'd be awful.
And the thing with Tebow is it's between the Jets and the Jags, and it's whoever is going to pay the Broncos more money right now is going to be basically going to get them.
So you got to pay $5 million or so for Tebow.
Or, you know, Jets say, we're not paying that, we'll give you 2.5. Since you already paid them out, why should we, you know, even though it's a future payment, and then the Jags come in and say, we'll give you 3.
I still don't understand why the Broncos are so desperate to get rid of him. I think this is absolutely stupid.
Elway does not like him.
Elway doesn't like him. John Fox doesn't like him. It's because Tebow mania. They hate it. They hate it. They despise him.
They hate it, but they love the money it makes. And I'll tell you what, gentlemen. You will not find a better example for an understudy.
And the thing is without Tebow, there would be no Manning. That's the sad thing.
Without Tebow, there would be no... Explain that.
Do you think... You think that the you think Manning would have went to a 3-13 Broncos team?
I do, especially the part where you said the reason why he came there was due to John Elway.
I think I'm actually winning a little bit. Had something to do with it.
Technically, they didn't win; they tied 8-8. Now they did pull a playoff win out of their keister.
Yeah, but so
I don't know, man. Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong, but if Elway truly put the spin on...
I know, Elway. But yeah, it's just crazy how... It's crazy how the whole Manning thing... Because the thing that about Elway and John Fox, they pretty much adopted Tebow mania. They didn't...
They didn't have a choice.
Yeah, they didn't have a choice as in they... Josh McDaniels was the head coach that... drafted Tim Tebow.
Well, there's that, but I mean, they didn't have a choice, as in you're 1-4, and the fans are going livid.
Exactly.
I mean, I like the part where you bring in Josh McDaniel and him being the one who picked up Tebow because there was a possibility that Belichick wanted him. So Josh McDaniel swooped him and got him first.
But I think what it came down to was that John Elway, John Fox 1A, your prototypical quarterback. They want a guy that passes the ball.
But that's what I'm saying. Manning's not going anywhere for 2 or 3 years. You think in 2 or 3 years with
Tebow's, the guy they want.
With Tebow's, who's that going to be? Matt Barkley? Please. Nice. Nice. Seriously, name me a college quarterback that looks that good right now.
Who they got a year, maybe 2 years, maybe less to figure about.
But 2 years' time, that work ethic and that character that you have in Tebow could have developed into the next Peyton Manning. I believe that.
Yeah.
I'm not a Tebow guy. Let me make that clear. I don't want him as a member of the 49ers, but I would want him, if I'm Peyton Manning, I want him as my understudy.
Yeah, just I don't think Elway saw how he can turn that into a passing quarterback.
So. Well, I mean, hey.
Hey, that was
You and I have seen Tebow be the single most inconsistent quarterback since Dilfer. Throw the perfect pass, immediately followed by the nastiest duck you've ever seen in your life.
Yep.
Which, and talking, since you brought Tebow back up again, let's do this as a transition. The Rams had which pick? Number two. Traded to the Skins. If they wanted Tebow so bad, why not just keep your pick and get RG3 if you want to back up so bad to Sam Bradford? I don't get that. It's pretty silent. If you want to back up to Sam Bradford that bad, why not just get RG3 with your second pick?
I looked at it again, with the Rams. It was just a rumor. They're not interested in Tebow at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah,
I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, it brings a bit more sanity.
Yeah, I didn't think that was going to be a...
All right, so unless you gentlemen have anything else?
Except, yeah, the whole thing with the RG3,
what is it?
Washington two, gave
it's first and second.
They had the number six pick in the draft?
This year, yes.
Number six overall pick in the
draft. Redskins had number six.
Traded up to number two. They traded their this year's first round pick and second round pick, next year's first round pick, and the following year's first round pick for the number two pick.
To move up four spots.
Yeah. Right. To draft.
Let's call it exactly what it is, to move up four spots.
Yeah.
Yes. Wow.
And they resigned Sexy Rexy.
Yeah, right.
That's pretty.
Let's put this in perspective, gentlemen. Here's the problem with doing stuff like that. You mortgage all that now to get that top player in RG3. What the hell are you going to use to get people to surround it? Why was Roethlisberger successful?
Because he went into a team that was pretty established.
Okay. Why do you think Hell, I don't have to do it. The point is, just they're not going to have anyone to put around the guy. So anyways, with that, you've been listening, of course, to The Student of the Game, where you can listen to us directly on the website, www.thestudentofthegame.com. There you could either download the MP3 or the AUG as necessary. Get subscribed to us on iTunes. You can all leave a comment for us on the website. You could email us at thesotg@thestudentofthegame.com. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at thesotg. So until next time, we'll have a little bit more off-season drama for you. I don't know if it'll be as busy as what today's was, but we'll see then. Catch you next time. Class dismissed.